That's weird. That's weird. Kind of weary me out.
You are a sad, strange little man.
This is crazy!
Isn't that weird?
That's weird, man.
It's strange.
What's up, campers? Welcome back to Camp Strange. Fuck. God damn it. How do we start this? Wait. Zip it. Ready?
I'm leaving it in.
No. What's up, campers? Welcome back to episode 193 of Camp Strange. I'm your camp counselor, Alex Tobin.
And I'm your other camp counselor, Monkey Man, with two N's.
I thought you were going to say, I'm Stone Cold E.T.
I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You had the accent. It started changing.
I like
at
my
the end
kitties.
Your what?
Kitties. Doesn't he have a bunch of like kitties? I see videos of him like on his ranch, and he's like loves his little kittens.
David, you can't say I like kitties.
Kitty cats.
I know what you're saying, but
I was also Stone Cold, so hey.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's not me talking.
I love margaritas
Austin.
And light beer.
Anyway, and we're back to bring you the spooky, wacky, weird, strange, and. What's your name again?
Monkey Man with two N's at the end.
That's right. If you didn't get the hint, monkey. But before we do that, we got to catch you up on any of the weird news you may have missed before we get into these stories. So, David, I got one right here. Not a great story, honestly, but it just...
Love that. Way to sell it.
I really lean in. Piece of shit story. Not good. Not entertaining. No. So, Lincoln woman exploits pump glitch to get over $27,000 of free gas, police say.
Hey, it's not her fault. It's malfunctioning.
Okay, this is exactly why I'm... Like, it's not that interesting of an article, but I want to talk about it because it pisses me off. Basically, what ended up happening is they had, like, a software update at this gas station, like, 3 months prior, and they found out if you swipe your club card twice, it goes into demo mode, and basically Yeah, exactly.
I love the demo mode. Let's fucking go.
You show up with, like, a sledgehammer. You're like, demolition mode, correct? No. No, but this is so she like pumped a bunch of gas for like 3 months, and she's probably like, you know, showing up with like gas tanks,
caravans.
Yeah, exactly. And they found out about it, and now they're like fucking suing her. Is charged with one count of theft by unlawful taking, which is a made up law.
Yeah, bullshit.
Unlawful taking of $5,000 or more. And I just think it's such bullshit that like the one we always see, oh my God, she took, wait, it's estimated that 7.5 million gallons of gasoline were pumped during those uses. Wait. Oh, that's a period. Okay. 7,500. I'm like, there's no way.
I was going to say, how do you not notice like you're like, that's just a bad business if you're selling that much shit, but your income isn't like skyrocketing, right?
You know, no, it's 7,000.
Like, who's not checking the numbers?
$7,413.59. What the fuck? David just hung up on me. Oh my God.
What the hell is that?
You did that. You did that.
No.
We're still recording, correct?
Yeah, we're still recording. Our phone call hung up for some reason.
Yeah, I just told him that you hung up on me. This is kind of interesting. You're going to have that 10-second bit where
my hands are all the way over here. I didn't do shit.
I didn't do shit either. Anyway, I read this wrong twice. Not 7,413 worth of gasoline had been pumped. Wait. Oh my God, who fucking cares anymore? I'm so stupid. It doesn't matter. Because what fucking matters is that this woman found a glitch because this fucking stupid company didn't have the proper protocols. And now they're trying to say that like she was taking advantage of it or stealing gas. I don't know. I just think
she kind of was, but like,
yeah, but
they should be punished for how stupid they are.
Well, I just think that if you lose money,
theft is cool.
If somebody like purposefully, if they just like found out by accident and then they kind of took advantage of it, I feel like that's free game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fair game or whatever.
It also all matters who the victim is here, and it's gas.
Yeah, gasoline companies.
Yeah, they can go fuck themselves. They make too much money.
Well, that's what I mean, is that they probably fuck over people every single day, and they don't care. And then
they make up the prices.
Yeah, and when they get fucked over, then it's like a big, like, oh, we're going to, like, sue this woman.
Boo-hoo.
And the thing that drives me crazy is when, like, the banks start shooting out, like, free money. We've heard that story, like, 10 times now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. ATM starts spinning out of control.
Yeah, either that or, like, somebody's like, I have $1 million in my bank account now. So they take it all out and they spend it. And they go, where'd that money go? And you go, it was in my bank account. I spent it. And they go, you have to pay that back. And you're like, no, it was in my – I thought – I had a great-great-grandfather I didn't know about that just died and left me a bunch of money one day. How was I supposed to know it was an error? I don't know.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Sounds like an error on their side of the court, not mine.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It just pisses me off that these companies do this. I mean, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We
really
are
grinds my gears.
Yeah, okay. I'm on the side of the thief, but here's the thing. We're just illegal thieves. They're just legal thieves because they write laws. Sure. Don't get me up. Don't get me up on my soapbox, okay? Okay, these companies are bigger thieves than us.
Don't give this guy a megaphone, let me tell you.
Okay. Okay, guys. What the frick is happening?
What the frick?
Vote for me for president. I'll make crime legal. All crime.
All the time.
All
crime all the time.
Wait, you smell that? I think I smell a VP right in front
hey,
of me.
Okay.
We finish each other's
Qdoba.
Anthrax. Qdoba.
When was the last time you had Qdoba?
I have never had Qdoba. That's like Chipotle, right?
Yeah. As far as I know, it was like pre-Chipotle.
Hmm.
I got banned from Qdoba in high school. I don't think I've eaten there since.
Every time you bring up a place or I bring up a place, you always end up leading with, I got banned from that. We were just talking about Boy Scouts off the mic, and he was like, yeah, I got kicked out of Boy Scouts for putting lead in the front of his slot car derby, whatever the fuck that thing is. The little balsa wood car that you put on the track, and they were way in the front of it.
They were mad. I was too fast.
Fucking John Candy style and Cool Runnings.
People hate to see me win. Okay, say
they hate a winner.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's that story. It's just mad. Give this woman Maddening. All the free gas she wants.
Absolutely. Run it up.
Run it up. Do you have a story?
Well, kind of. I was just gonna bring up this whole Kate Middleton thing going on.
Who?
Isn't that her name? Kate Middleton?
Oh, is that the...
Like the princess? Or whatever the fuck, however that works?
We don't know. I'm like, that's a princess?
The I guess lady the... of West Cheshire?
The sauce of West Cheshire. What's up with her? I don't know what.
Oh, she's
about
dead. She's fucking dead, man. Yeah, man, people, there's some conspiracy theories brewing, circulating the globe. She's fucking dead. And,
she's actually dead. Wait, is she dead?
That's what people think.
Wait, how?
So people believe, she was scheduled for a little operation, little facelift or something, a little tightening of the cheeks.
Oh.
Front and back, and
tighten my cheeks. How do you tighten those cheeks back there?
A lot of tinnitures, is that what it's called?
I feel like if you tighten the cheeks, then you never have to wipe again. I feel like it just spreads your butt apart, right?
Yeah, that crust over.
It's like when a dog poops out. Doesn't?
Yeah.
It's like the squatty potty.
Yeah. Sure. But
is anything making sense? I'm saying I don't know.
Yeah, No, okay. I see what you're saying. It's like a direct drop, no contact on the walls.
Yeah, yeah, because you stretch the cheeks out so tight that it just becomes like exposed ass.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is riveting, people.
So people think she's dead. People think that she got like a facelift or something and died in surgery because she hasn't made a public appearance in quite some time, which is, I guess, unusual.
Hmm.
And she like released a thing on Instagram of like her and her kids. But the photo is like AI generated. Like the hands are all fucked up and like a sweat. Like the little girl's like wrist is clipping through her sweater. And
Oh my God.
Only adds to people thinking that she's fucking dead because she's whoever is running her account is posting AI images being like, look, I'm alive. And then she had a public appearance in a car with tinted windows and like people are snapping photos and then like someone zoomed in and it just looks like a mask. Like it doesn't look like a real person.
Stop.
I swear, man. She's fucking dead as a doorknob.
What's the point of like,
you know, what's going to be really bad is when it ends up being that she is dead and I'm going to feel really bad about joking about it.
What would be the point of prolonging that? Like, what would be like, are they eventually just going to replace her with somebody that has her face or are they like, I love these conspiracy theories. Cause also like if the royal family is putting out a picture on like, with the kids and stuff like that, don't you think that they would have like a really good, yeah,
the best of the best?
They're like, oh yeah, we just typed in like fucked up
TBT or whatever,
Shrimp Jesus or something. Did you see Shrimp Jesus?
No, is that in theaters?
Straight to video, VOD.
Straight to video.
Yeah,
Redbox.
Oh, it's a Redbox. Who's in every one of those like Redbox movies? Like,
Paul Giamatti.
The two people. No, he was just at the Oscars. What are you talking about? That's like the last person.
He's just in so much. I'm not saying he's in bad things. I'm just saying he's in so much.
I could tell you the two people. I could tell you the two people that I thought of, but I feel very bad because two of these people can't act anymore. But it was Val Kilmer. Because he had like the throat thing, but he was in every single like straight to DVD. Bruce Willis was in a lot of those like Redbox ones.
Yeah, he was in a lot of them.
And then here's my favorite one, Curtis Jackson.
Yeah, Fitty. Curtis Jackson. That's a big Redbox guy.
They got Fitty. Yeah, they got 50 Cent and like Steven Seagal on there now. You know, it's just like really good.
Who else is someone that like Jennifer Aniston?
No.
It's been a while since she's been in something big.
You know who's in everything, like, shitty? Eric Roberts.
Who the fuck is that?
I will literally be watching the worst short film I've ever seen in my life, and all of a sudden I'll see, like, Eric Roberts pop up. He's Julia Roberts' older brother, and
Was he the Mummy?
No, he wasn't.
This dude's... I didn't know this guy was her older brother.
I think he is.
This guy looks like a fucking 18-year-old football.
Like George Hamilton looking ass.
Yeah, he looks like that big piece of beef that boxers punch in every movie in the cold room.
I feel like he's the guy, like if you just give him like a box of nerds, he'd act in your movie.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, wait, there's like, he's like, these aren't the Halloween nerds. Because those are the best nerds.
He doesn't run from the grind, that's for sure.
By the way, nerds, best box design, best candy design, like how they had like the slide. It, like it's the box is split in two.
Yeah, but the problem is you suckle on that thing like a baby cow on a good udder, and that cardboard gets real soft on you.
You don't you waterfall it and you don't suck on that. You suck on like a pixie stick.
I put the whole thing in my mouth.
Did you open both of them and then shove it in your mouth and then just have it all one come go. Out?
One go. It's a one bite candy.
It gets that soggy in that one go. How long is it in your mouth?
Oh, boy. As long as it can last.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I really love, though?
What?
Those nerd clusters. Whew.
Are those like nerd's rope, just like chopped up in little bits?
Oh yeah, because I used to love a nerd's rope, and then they kind of stopped doing that. But now they've got the now they got the clusters. And get
how did this tangent start?
Clusters.
It started with Kate Middleton is dead.
Yeah,
and then straight to Redbox, and then now we're on Eric Roberts, and now we're on Nerd's Rope.
Yeah, because you said you could pay Eric Roberts a box of nerds to be in your short film.
He might be.
Which my question is, why I think you should send that proposal for your next short film.
He's going to listen to this. He's definitely going to say no. Right. He's gonna be like two.
Hey, I'm the one dunking on him. I'm uninvolved. So
he's like two boxes of nerds. I'm like, this is out of my budget. I can't do this.
We're in the red.
but I got one more story here. As a cannibal gang and its barbecue leader push Haiti into chaos. So do you know about what's going on in Haiti right now?
No.
Okay, so I think it was a couple years ago, maybe like 2 years ago, their president was assassinated. They ran up on him and they killed, I think they killed him and his wife, like in his like penthouse palace, whatever. He was he was like a dictator or something like that. They people didn't like
kind
him.
Of a bad dude.
I don't know the details, but I think that was the case, that he wasn't a great guy. And then basically when he died, they put somebody else in his place who wasn't elected but was like assigned that position to become president. You know, it's like if the president dies, the VP becomes president type shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy was about to like suspend elections or something like that because he wanted to continue to be president.
Of course.
And while he was out of the country, they basically like stormed all these police stations and government. The gangs of Hades, like stormed these like police stations and government buildings, and they basically just like got in like giant firefights and started like a civil war, and they basically took the government back from the government or like whatever, you know, and they won't let the president back into the country. They said they're gonna kill him, and even like the Dominican Republic, which is right next door, they won't allow him to land there because he's like, can I land there and then like, you know, maybe try to get into Haiti? And they're like, fuck that, no, we have too many like people from Haiti and the Dominican, like you'll die here too, or we don't want to get into the middle of this. But the leader of the gang, or one of the leaders, his name's Barbecue.
Hell yeah, that's sick.
That's his nickname.
Okay. And nickname, okay. Still cool.
So his name's Jimmy Chorizier, who projects
Jimmy Chorizo,
basically, but he's kind of become like the most powerful man in Haiti at the moment. But he's got his nickname Barbecue from burning people alive.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say he like kept burning the food.
No. Well, he did.
Maybe.
He likes it well done. But also, speaking of well done, he actually is on camera performing cannibalism to as like a threat type situation. So it's like he'll have like a guy's arm and like take a bite out of it and be like, yeah, I
is it cooked or is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, he burned the guy alive and then he
okay. Well, I was gonna say, I mean, honestly, if you're burning people alive, like, you might as well eat them, right?
You're just wasting food.
I mean,
save some for the dogs, Barbecue.
the dog's hungry, Barbecue. He's like, dogs been working real hard.
I don't see no dog. Oh, they invisible. Look it.
Barbecue, they there.
They there. But he wants to be the new president, so there could be a cannibalistic president of Haiti. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people like assume that like shit like this happens in Haiti all the time. Like, there's not cannibalism in Haiti. It's just like this gang leader was like, oh, I got the camera on me, and it's like a fucking
do something cool.
It's like a Buffalo Bills fan jumping through a table. You know, they only do it when the camera's on.
I don't know about that, but yeah, probably.
Why am I defending this man's cannibalism? No, I'm defending.
Kind of sounds like it.
No, I'm defending the Haitian culture from this man's cannibalism.
Yeah, there it is.
But yeah, so that's what's going on there, and there's some like real shit, you know, happening in Haiti. It's crazy. But also I heard on NPR, they're like, yeah, so like there's like 109 political parties in Haiti.
Whoa.
I'm like, what? So that is a thing as well. And yeah, apparently
anybody's game.
Hopefully barbecue's got some support in one of the cannibalistic branches of the government or political parties, because I just don't see this going well. It's really sad. He's going to, how many boxes of Nerds do you think he's going to need to fund this campaign? Hey, Eric Roberts does a commercial for him. But like
barbecue is finger licking good.
But he tries to eat Eric Roberts because he thinks he's already cooked because his skin looks like a pork rind.
All right, now he's definitely not doing your short film.
You're the one who fucking said this shit in the beginning. You said he looked like
a
football.
I'm not campaigning here.
Do you think Eric Roberts would do a campaign commercial for barbecue?
For a cannibal? Probably not.
Come on,
that's
it's money.
Some bad PR.
What if you gave him $500,000? Because he's probably in his late 60s now, early 70s. Like, $500,000, like...
So is he Emma Roberts' father?
Uncle? I don't know. Oh, that's a good question. Let me see.
Because Julia Roberts is Emma Roberts'
aunt?
Aunt.
Let me see really quick.
Yep. But
oh my God, that is his daughter.
Yeah.
One of his kids is Emma Roberts, and his other kid is a suckling pork pig in a Hawaiian pit.
I heard that's a good gig.
He got all the good genetics.
If he can handle the heat, I heard that's a good job.
They got the same skin. Nothing crispy. No, that is that's her dad. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Man.
That dude is in a lot of stuff. Never knew that's who that was.
He'll pop up in the weirdest shit you've ever seen, and then he'll pop up in like a normal show on like ABC, and you're like, I guess like this guy can't really ruin his name, because you know like some people, they go and they act in something, and you're like, oh, that guy's like not bankable anymore. He did like this shitty movie. It's like they're on hard times. They're not getting good roles. But then he'll be like in a bad role, and then all of a sudden he'll like pop up in like...
The Dark Knight.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, he was.
Yeah.
He was in The Dark Knight.
Was he Falcone?
Oh, shit. Was he Falcone?
I think so.
Yeah. He was one of the mob guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. But also, they got Spawn in that movie. Remember the guy who plays Spawn?
Like, before he gets burned?
Yes.
I don't remember who that was. That was like for 10 minutes, wasn't it?
He was in the scene where the guy, he shoves the pencil through the guy's eye.
Oh, damn. That was Spawn?
Yeah, he's like the big black guy with like the, I think he has a beard in that.
Does he has a funny name in it. What was it?
Is his real name Michael Jai White?
I don't know.
Jai White.
I don't even know who it was. I know he had a funny name in The Dark Knight. What was his name?
Let me see. Dark Knight. You think he has actually a funny name in that?
Yeah.
Eric Roberts is Salvatore, fuck, I don't know, Maroni or something like that maybe?
Okay.
And then Michael Jai White, if I could find him. Oh, Gamble.
Gamble?
It's G-A-M-B-O-L, Gamble. Gamble. Michael Jai White.
That's a funny name to me. I don't know about you.
Gamble.
Gamble.
They also got like Anthony Michael Hall in this, which is kind of weird. Yeah, they got some weird, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a Chris Nolan film. You think you'd be like getting like, but this is also like mid Chris Nolan career. Now he's like peaking right now. So he's probably like, yeah, throw some like weirdos in there too.
He does like his little guys.
Yeah. He likes like a little weird cameo.
Yeah. He likes his weird little guys.
Oh, Aiden Fiore plays Fat Thug. That's cool.
Yeah. I love Aiden.
The weird thing, he's really skinny in this picture, so maybe he used to be Fat Thug.
Yeah, he did the Christian Bale thing. He bulked up.
Yeah, just for his one background role. God, Fat Thug's a cool nickname.
Can you imagine that? Like, his good kid name. Being like, my dad was in The Dark Knight. And they're like, no, he wasn't. Yeah, he was the Fat Thug.
That was the Dead Thug from Cholesterol. Anyway, okay. So, should we get into these stories? Sorry, that was a bad joke. Anyway.
These what now?
We got stories today. David, you know, I'm going to let you take the helm on this one because of what you said last episode.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about monkeys.
Is that really your lead-in? You're not even going to put any, like, fanfare behind it? Come on.
You know, I mean, obviously everybody knows how much I love monkeys. All shapes and sizes. Every breed. Apes. Because I, you know, I love them. I don't do the real research here. Except like, so like a gibbon is a monkey, but a chimpanzee is an
gamble.
Is like an ape, right? No tail equals ape. Tail equals monkey.
Like, isn't that basically? I like your scientific process. It might be right.
I'm pretty sure. So like orangutan, gorilla, chimpanzee, apes.
Yes.
Pancham? Pancham? The ones that are like in every movie, you know, the little black and white ones with the skin faces?
Those are called, I have one right here, actually. They're called...
Panchams, right?
No, they're called capuchin.
Capuchin.
Capuchin monkey. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
That's like the one in Friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Or like Ace Ventura.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Capuchin. Okay.
But like that's a monkey.
Yes.
But
anyway, yeah. And what we really wanted to say was, David was brought up last episode that we were talking about monkeys, and as you guys know, David loves monkeys. But he said we should do a monkey list. We should do our favorite monkey list, or like a monkey draft. I think he said something along those lines.
Yeah, we could do a monkey draft, but you know, it's a little hard. You know, so many good ones. But, you know, we made a little list of who some of our favorite real monkeys are, some of our favorite, you know, character monkeys are.
So this was
I didn't focus so much on breed.
So this was a very loose...
This was us being lazy. I was at a bachelor party all weekend. I'm tired.
Well, David just said, he texted me and he said, should we do the monkey list? And then, or something like that. And I was like, sure. But there wasn't really like a game plan to it. I thought,
God,
like,
no.
I was like, oh, maybe we'll just like talk about monkeys. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to put a little spin on this. I don't know what David did, but what I did was I picked four different monkeys from four different ape
communities.
Or monkey families. Yeah, exactly. Communities. And I did like a little background on like one specific monkey, and it could range from a fictional monkey to a real monkey or ape, you know. And I'm not really sure what David did over there, but we're going,
brother, I don't know what I did either.
So we're just gonna rotate back and forth. Instead of me going first and David going second, I'm just gonna go with one of them, and then David's gonna jump to, he's gonna do his one next, and then back and forth. So yeah, since you have more monkeys and I.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to start this off?
Oh, I'll start it off with one of the best monkeys that the human race has ever imagined.
Mm, they imagined him. Okay.
Yeah. And that gentleman would be the one, the only DK Donkey Kong.
Oh, shit.
You know what?
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, we all love Donkey Kong. I mean, and if you don't, then I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know how you couldn't love that tie-wearing ape. So DK Donkey Kong, which I think his name is Donkey Kong, but I like saying DK Donkey Kong.
Well, I was a very big fan of the video game, so I know most of the song.
Would you like to say, I'm not going to ask you to rap it, but would you like to just say it?
Well, I got to put a little flair on it, so I'll give
do
you
it however you'd like. I just didn't want to put pressure on you to do it some way you were uncomfortable with.
He goes like this. DK Donkey Kong.
Uh-huh.
DK, Donkey Kong is here. He's the leader of the bunch. You know him well. He's finally back. to kick some tail, his coconut gun. It fires in spurts. If it hits you, it's gonna hurt. He's bigger, faster, and stronger too. He's the first member of the DK crew. DK. Donkey. Fuck, come on. Anyway. And then they got, I think they got Diddy.
They got Diddy.
And then they got Tiny. And then my favorite is...
Lanky or Gramps?
Is it Lanky Kong?
Pretty sure it's Lanky.
The orangutan.
Kong.
The orangutan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Lanky.
Because his special power is that he could fart, right? Never related to any fictional or real character ever than that.
Yeah, Lanky Kong.
Lanky, yeah, he's
little
good.
Overalls. Kind of a creepy face.
And then they got the big fucking Kong, too. They got the one that's
Chunky
like,
Kong?
Maybe.
Boy,
we got like
a
giant
Kongs.
One. There's a lot of Kongs in the Kong family.
We got Swanky Kong, who's in a tuxedo.
Okay. Well, he's going to get his own movie, right? Because they did the Mario movie, and they showed us the DK universe.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
He's going to get a movie. He's definitely going to get... And then they're going to do like a Mortal Kombat with like the Smash Brothers once they get enough of these, you know.
Yeah, so characters. I'm now realizing I always thought Dixie Kong and Tiny Kong were the same Kongs. They are not.
Oh, me too. Is Tiny the big one?
Tiny's... She appears to be holding a crossbow.
Oh, it's not like an ironic name where the giant guy is named Tiny?
No. I think she is a little lady.
That's why my nickname was Little Dick in high school. It was ironic. It was definitely ironic.
There's also Candy Kong, who, pardon my French, kind of looks like a slutty little Donkey Kong.
Uh-oh. She hot, David?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to take away. So please explain whatever you have written for Donkey Kong before we
go down a
rule 38 hole.
34.
That too.
I just have like Donkey Kong is a video game series and media franchise created by Japanese game designer Shigeru Miyamoto. For Nintendo, the franchise follows the adventures of Donkey Kong, a large, powerful gorilla. Donkey Kong series includes the original arcade game, which, believe it or not, the original Donkey Kong game was Mario's first appearance.
I know, but he didn't have a name there, right?
No,
he wasn't
I don't think
named
so.
Mario.
Not yet, no. Mm-hmm. But then he also had a trilogy by Nintendo R&D1, and that was the they also had the Donkey Kong Country series by Rare.
Oh, that was great.
And Retro Studios, and the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series, which I believe was just kind of like a newer version of the original one, just a little more polished.
Are you just naming off every single game that Donkey Kong's in, David? This can't be it.
Then there was
this No.
To be completely honest, I wasn't sure if this was going to be more of an open forum or if I was supposed to provide any information, and so I might just be completely reading off his Wikipedia page.
Oh my god, David. Okay, well, I brought a little more structure to this at least, so don't worry, guys. You'll get a little information from me with David just telling you a monkey off the top of his head and then reading a Wikipedia page about said monkey.
Donkey Kong, great.
Can you leave me with a fun fact about Donkey Kong before I jump over to my monkey?
So a fun fact about Donkey Kong. One of his most popular games was definitely Donkey Kong 64. Donkey Kong Country 64. Is that what it's called?
I think so. But when you said definitely, it made me feel like you made up this fact.
Yeah. No. This is a Stone Cold fact.
Cold Donkey Kong.
So this game was unique. This game was unique to the Nintendo 64 because I think there's only like one other game that it came with like an expansion graphic box that you would plug into the front of the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
But little did 10-year-old David know that Hollywood Video or Blockbuster, whoever I rented it from, doesn't provide that little box. So when you rent the game, you can't fucking play it. So I never got to play that goddamn game.
But you rented it?
I rented it, and I never got to play it until later on in my life when I went about a way that I'm not going to say because I don't want Nintendo hunting me down and beheading me.
Emulator.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, I've had that happen with some games before. It's heartbreaking. You go, you're so excited to play it. I bought this game called Silicon Valley back in the day for N64, and I plugged it in, and it would always freeze on the starting screen.
It's hard to play it when you can't get past that.
Yep, for some reason, we had it. We never returned it. This is back in my day, you didn't return stuff. You just kept it, and you complained about it, okay?
Yeah, I still do that.
Anyway, so okay,
or just throw it away. I'd rather if I buy something on Amazon and it's not what I thought it was, I just throw it away. I'm not going through the process of returning it. I don't care how much it is.
Oh my god, how rich are you? You disgust me.
I'm not. I'm just that lazy.
You're so gross. Okay, well that's the first monkey, and it was pretty informative.
Good monkey.
Good, he's a top tier monkey.
Now, I know someone out there when I said Donkey Kong, they got excited.
Yeah, it was you.
Yes, it was.
So I have a monkey here for you, and one you probably don't know. But like I said, my list, I have four monkeys, and you're going to find out they're all kind of in different categories. Like this one is a little bit different than the rest. But today I'm going to be talking about Ella, who is a capuchin monkey from the 1988 masterpiece Monkey Shine. Whoa. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, David.
I have not.
So I want you to Google it because I think you've probably seen the box at Hollywood Video, speaking of, because as a child, I would always walk past this box and I would always be intrigued by this movie. I was like, what
Monkey
is
Monkey Shine? Oh, yes, indeed. I do recognize that box.
It's a core memory for me, and I never saw it until just like today, actually. I was like, I watched the...
You watched it? That's why you have a headache.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like a 15-minute like quick recap of it with somebody explaining, but it was good enough. And I kind of want to watch the whole movie now because it was fantastic. So the movie was directed by George A. Romero, for all of zombie heads out there. It's the father of the modern zombie, created Night of the Living Dead, you know, Dawn of the Dead, all these dead movies. And I didn't know he directed this at all, actually. So this was kind of surprising.
I didn't know he dabbled in monkeys. That's a new one for me. I didn't know that about him.
Yeah.
George.
Yeah, he's kind of a monkey head, too.
Okay.
So,
good for him.
So for this, instead of giving you fun facts about a monkey that doesn't exist, I just wanted to basically tell you the entire plot of this movie in three paragraphs. And it's fantastic.
Hey, Stanley Tucci's in this movie. He's got hair.
Yeah, dude. Okay, his hair is like barely there. But here's the thing. So... There's a couple little like nuggets in here. You're gonna be like, I kind of have to watch. I don't think me explaining the movie will even ruin it because it's so good. So
okay.
So when law student and athlete Alan Mann is struck by a vehicle, so just to start this
great
off,
name
he Alan Mann. He goes on a run in his neighborhood, but first before he goes on the run, he puts a backpack on and fills it with bricks.
Hell yeah.
And he starts running through the neighborhood, and basically what happens is a German Shepherd jumps out at him, and he freaks out and goes, oh, and jumps off the sidewalk and gets hit by a car. And the scene where he gets hit by the car, he literally, like, jumped off a trampoline, and somebody threw a bunch of bricks around him. It's, like, the most insane shit I've ever seen. So he gets struck by a vehicle, and he's rendered a quadriplegic, and he's gifted a service animal from his friend Jeffrey in the form of Ella, a capuchin monkey. And like we talked about, capuchin monkeys are the ones that are in Ace Ventura or Pirates of the Caribbean. Or
this one does look a tad bit different, though.
Does it?
On the pictures I'm seeing. Because, I mean, earlier the way that I described one of these monkeys is that they have kind of a pink, like... Caucasian fleshy face. This one has a dark face.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't think I've ever seen one of that. Like, I've never seen a capuchin with like the dark skin tone.
I don't know how many different like colorways there are.
It's a shiny.
But yeah, it's a shiny. So they got this one. And so, like I said, so his friend Jeffrey gives him Ella, a capuchin monkey, in order to lift his spirits and help him around the house because he's a quadriplegic, which means he can't use his arms or legs. So what Alan doesn't know, though, is that his friend and research scientist Jeffrey has dosed the monkey in his lab with a serum to boost its intelligence and believes that the serum's effect will be amplified if the monkey is around humans. So this guy has a facility where he injects monkeys and tries to make them smarter. And his boss is Steven Root, who is the nerdy guy from Dodgeball. L for Love. You know, L for Love. The guy with the glasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used to be in, like, a ton of Adam Sandler movies.
Was he?
Wasn't he in, like, The Water Boy?
I think he was in Office Space.
Mace Deepler. Yes. Yeah.
I forget his name.
He was in Barry.
Yeah. So basically he's like the boss in this, and he's like the scientist guy's scientist boss. And so basically Jeffrey's been injecting monkeys, trying to make them smarter. But what ends up happening is that he injects him with this shit, and I don't know how, they don't really even explain it, but Alan starts mind melding to this monkey because the monkey starts helping him out around the house and they get like a little bit of a bond and the monkey's cool. But when he goes to sleep, he has like a mind meld with the monkey and he can see what the monkey does at night. Like it like runs around outside and like, you know, he can't stop it. He's fucking quadriplegic. So yeah. He's like, he thinks they're dreams, but then he starts finding like shit out, monkey shit outside. And he's like, oh man, yeah,
the
like monkey.
The monkey eats a box of cereal and throws it all over the place. The next morning he goes in the kitchen. There's cereal everywhere.
Exactly. Shit like okay. That. So he's like, oh shit, the monkey is getting out. And maybe I am seeing like the visions of this monkey.
Fuck, the monkey's getting out.
So, and just some of the other key players, he has like a bitch mom who's like in her 60s. Cause this guy's like in his 30s or something. And she's like kind of a bitch. And then he has like a nurse that's like jealous because the monkey's basically taking her job. And then he has Jeffrey, who's like his weird scientist friend. And then he has Stanley Tucci, who's the fucking doctor that did the spinal surgery on him. And this movie is so weirdly outlandish because basically, so this culminates when a mind link between Alan and Ella results in a murderous monkey who is acting on the angry and vindictive thoughts of a man who feels that he has been wronged. So basically, Alan starts having like negative thoughts towards like Tucci because Tucci not only like fucked up the surgery, but when Alan became a paraplegic, his wife left him and started dating Tucci, his fucking doctor.
You dog.
Yeah. So like he's like all pissed off at this, of course. And so Ella ends up like they're all like having sex. The Tucci and the guy's ex-wife is like they're having sex and hooking up, and Ella ends up going to the house and setting the bed on fire and killing the piece of shit Dr. Stanley Tucci and his girlfriend while they're sleeping or whatever. So Ella also another thing, the mom is being a bitch, and then she's like nice, and then she's a bitch again. I don't know. But the monkey gets jealous of the mom, so when the mom's like in the bathtub, like taking a bath, he runs over and he throws a hairdryer in it.
Okay.
He cooks her. These are
mama
all like
get cooked. Bad so mommy.
And that's the thing, bad mommy. So the thing is, he's not like a
vigilante.
No, not like a paranormal monkey. He's not like becoming a monster. He's just a monkey with like evil little thoughts. So he's still like a cute monkey that's like throwing a hairdryer in a bathtub. It's pretty great. Yeah. He also wields a straight razor at Jeffrey, and he like cuts him on his hand before injecting him in the neck with poison. Because he tries to, at this point, monkey's like really smart. So like Jeffrey's trying to like...
Once monkeys figure out how to use syringe, we're toast.
Right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, Jeffrey tries to kill monkey with poison syringe because he's probably killed a lot of monkeys because he's like a research guy. But monkey cuts him, takes the syringe, sneaks up on him, and injects him with poison and kills him.
Yeah, the old Uno reverse card.
So basically now like everyone's dead except for he has a like a hot, sexy nurse. They end up like hooking up. I don't know how that's possible. Hell, I think they just like make out because he's a quadriplegic. But but basically he's like, this nurse is not there, but like everybody else is like dead in the house or like at their house. And the monkey like locks the doors and pulls a Kathy Bates in Misery on his ass and basically makes him rely on the monkey, on Ella, to do anything, you know, because he's like, now Ella's very protective of him. And like, you know, you've all seen Misery. So the nurse is like, something's fucking wrong. I think he like pulls a phone off the hook and then the phone cord gets wrapped around his wheelchair. Classic, you know. Anyway, nurse shows up. Monkey like trips her and slams her head against a countertop. This is like the end. This is like the big finish. Slams her head against a countertop and she gets like knocked out. And he has another syringe of poison because, you know, there's just lying around everywhere. Yeah. And he's like, the monkey's like trying to figure out how to inject her. And he finds like her eyeball. And he's like, well, I'm going to inject her in the eyeball. And then like added, like, basically the guy in the wheelchair like is able to move his hand just enough. I thought he was a quadriplegic.
Not anymore.
Nope. And he hits the button on the radio and the song comes on that makes the monkey like come to him or whatever. It's like a cue. So the monkey like doesn't stab her in the eyeball with the poison and like runs over to him and is like, oh, you need some help. You need some help. And the monkey crawls on his lap. Oh, first it pisses on his lap, by the way. But basically then it crawls back on his lap and, oh my God, I totally forgot another thing. Monkey tries to set her on fire. The monkey tries to, because she was out.
The syringe, the wheelchair, what on fire?
So when she initially falls and hits her head, she's like covered in rain and she's all wet from being outside. And he tries to light her on fire, but like she won't light. Yeah, because she's all wet or whatever. So then he tries to poison her and that doesn't work. And he crawls up on the lap and when the monkey crawls up on his lap, he grabs the monkey by the neck with his teeth and just swings it violently back and forth until the monkey dies in his mouth.
The whip of death.
Dude, it's fucking insane. Just Google monkey shine final scene or some shit. He's like a fucking dog with like a chew toy.
Yeah. Well, you know why dogs do that with chew toys?
To break the neck?
Yeah, because in their mind, it's like that's their natural response to catching like a smaller animal is you whip it around. It's the whip of death.
It's like what, spine. You know, like when cats do that shit where they grab something and they start kicking it with their feet. It's the same thing. They're trying to break the neck of – they're kicking its body while holding onto its head, I guess. And at the end of the movie, so he kills the monkey in his jaws. And at the end of the movie, they do another spinal surgery and then he's able to walk and he's not a quadriplegic anymore.
Dude, she just did that to bang his girl.
Dude, it's fucking weird because I think there's like parts in the movie where they're basically like, I think Tucci's like negligent. And then he goes and he gets a second opinion. And the doctor's like, yeah, like you had this accident where you got hit by a car. But I also think that you have a genetic thing going on where like your spine made you quadriplegic and they just happen to happen at the same time. So like I could maybe fix you. And I'm like, what is this?
How, dude, what world is this? It sounds more like a Stephen King thing.
I know, because they couldn't leave with the guy being a quadriplegic because they were like, no, that's not a happy enough ending. So they're like, miraculous surgery saved him. I think it was the monkey meat.
You know how I would have ended it?
How?
I would have ended it that turned out the whole time.
Wait,
you know
what?
Who he was? You know who he was?
Who?
Stephen Hawking.
The monkey? Well, he was a genius.
Yeah.
Wow. What if he eats the monkey, the genius monkey?
No, they get electrocuted. They like get electrocuted. The brain swap. Freaky Friday.
Oh.
And then he turns into Stephen Hawking.
But Hannah. But I'm trying to do my Stephen Hawking voice.
But since he's a monkey, he can't talk. So he needs banana.
Yeah.
Banana.
How do they do that? I've heard people do the impression. It's really impressive. Anyway, so that's my Capuchin choice was. Okay. And I just
if I could add anything to the story, it would be to let you guys know it is streaming on Freevee.
Ooh.
Pluto TV, the Roku channel.
Oh, it's everywhere. Free. Those are all free apps.
Tubi, which those are things. And you can rent and buy on Prime Video and Amazon.
I'll watch it for free.
Yeah.
It looks fun. It was like pretty ridiculous. It's like just the right amount of like cheese and good horror. And it's not really horror. The monkey's not scary. It's a fucking little cute monkey. He's just doing mischievous shit.
Yeah. It's barely under 2 hours, which is impressive for a film from 88.
Yeah.
Because that was not the trend back then.
What, long?
Long movies back in the day were not so much a thing.
Yeah, how did they get that much runtime out of that movie?
A lot of monkey time.
There was an alternate ending, by the way, where like Steven Root goes back and like injects all of the monkeys with the serum, and they all like become like an army of evil monkeys, and they like they take over his mind or something like that.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it wasn't released until like 2004. Anyway, so that's that. I told you the whole movie. But that's I don't do a bunch of – that was the only movie character. So the rest of them are going to be a little different.
Well, my next one is a movie character.
Okay, hit me.
And his name is King Kong. You heard of him?
I almost chose King Kong.
Yeah.
I love King. I love the King.
How do you not? I mean, I've said it multiple times on this podcast. King Kong vs. Godzilla, whatever the fuck that official title name was, great movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. I actually did that.
It was a good movie, and I don't think enough people saw it because they saw like, oh, King Kong vs. Godzilla, okay. It was awesome. It was a great movie.
I think enough people saw it, they made a sequel.
True. I'm just saying more people should have appreciated
it. I'm just saying not enough people are talking about it, you know?
No one was talking about it. It made me angry.
It's a great movie. It's hard to bring up in conversation, you know? It's hard to – somebody's talking about the presidential –
I bring it up all the time.
Someone's like, I think I'm going to vote for Trump, or maybe I'll vote for Biden. And then someone's like, you know, it's also a good face-off.
You know, it's a better face-off?
You know, it's one
two
where
– very old things?
Oh. But here's the thing. The new one is called the New Empire, correct?
Yeah, New Monkey.
Yes.
So Ring a Tang.
Who do you think is going to come into the race? The presidential race?
Well, they do have a small monkey in this one, too.
They do have small monkey, too.
Yeah. You got to have the small monkey for the kids.
Mm. I think The Rock is going to come into the presidential race. And then Trump and Biden have to team up and take down The Rock.
Man, I wish it was Dave Bautista.
Oh, what a dude! That guy's so good at tackling people through walls. It's fucking insane. Everybody sees Blade Runner 2049 when he tackles Gosling through a wall. Best scene in the entire movie. It's in the first like 3 minutes. Yeah, but he doesn't tackle anybody through a wall.
Now, he was kind of a punk in the Dune movies.
Have you seen the second one? No spoilers. Yeah. No spoilers. Don't say anything.
Okay.
But it's good.
Yeah. I liked Alopecia. Austin Butler.
Fade Rotha?
Dude, I'm not remembering anybody's name in that movie except for the main character because his name's like Paul.
Paul Atreides, yes.
That's one of my pet peeves when you get like a sci-fi movie and everybody's got insane names and there's Paul.
They're like Chani, Fade Rotha, Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know.
But yeah, I guess like, you know, everybody knows who the fuck King Kong is. I mean, this is, I built this differently. So I'm going to go ahead and skip to my next one.
Okay.
Which was Albert, the first space monkey.
Oh, was he a cosmonaut or an astronaut?
I believe he was a cosmonaut.
They love.
No, he wasn't. He was an American. He was a patriot.
The Russians they sent a bunch of dogs up to space.
Yes. Cosmo, right?
What?
Wasn't Cosmo the first dog they sent to space that died? Ended up in a big old charred ball.
You tell me. Google it, Googler. What happened to the monkey?
What do you want from me? Oh, okay. So, Albert, the first space monkey, this rhesus monkey.
Oh, rhesus, which is, yeah.
Yeah, R-H-E-S-U-S. Monkey went to space on June 11th, 1948, aboard a V-2 rocket.
Wait, the monkey went in 1948?
Yep.
This says the first dog in space was named Laika, by the way.
Oh, Laika, yeah.
And that was in 57, so the monkey went up before the dog?
I think the difference is that the dog went on a shuttle that was going to come back. I think this monkey was just on a rocket that was a one-way ticket.
It was like a casket. Oh, my God. That's the most terrifying shit I've ever heard.
That's not cool.
Monkeys are...
I could be wrong.
I think you're probably right. That tracks.
I mean, it did say a V2 rocket.
They duct taped him to a rocket. Oh, my God.
Let's go V2 rocket.
It's probably just a big fucking rocket.
Yeah, I mean it is.
What happened?
All right, let's get back into it.
So I'm Googling V2 rockets. No one else can see this shit, David.
Albert, you told me to look it up. Albert began his astronaut career after being launched from a base at White Sands, New Mexico.
You call basically government-assisted suicide a career? It's astronaut career. He got shoved into a
bottle
metal cylinder and launched into space, and they're like, "You got a promotion, asshole." They filled him with bananas and fucking shoved him in there.
Yeah. It was by the American Space Program. His flight ended in tragedy as he suffocated. He suffocated and died in the V2 Blossom rocket.
No.
Albert was the first in a series of monkeys sent into space to test the safety of space travel for humans. I mean, it's a good thing it was a test that, you know, and it failed, so they knew.
Well, is suffocation like a worse way to go than burning up? And like, cause like burning up, like
it's definitely a shitty feature to have in space travel.
What?
Suffocation.
Suffocation. I'm monkey. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm. Banana. I just trying to figure out, like, is that the most ethical way to kill a, if it had to die anyway, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Maybe a fast explosion.
Yeah.
not a slow explosion, you know what I mean?
It's like
slowly exploding in the vacuum of space.
Like the monkey's like in it and it's watching like the explosion get closer and closer to its face as it's trying to get away from it, but it's in like a little
feel its skin burning.
Oh my God, those slow explosions are a real bitch.
Yeah. So Albert was the first in a series of monkeys sent into space to test the safety of space travel for humans. Other monkeys also gave their lives in the name of science and space exploration. Albert the sixth survived a...
They just named them all Albert? There were six of them?
Yep. One through five didn't make it out so hot. Come on. Albert the sixth survived in a space flight in 1949. Unfortunately, Albert the sixth died on impact.
Are you okay? It's not okay. You just hit the ground and go on like high velocity?
Yeah, I didn't deploy the chutes.
Oh, that was his job? That was his fucking job?
Holy Holy shit. What a twist. I did not read that. I copied and pasted that. I'll admit it. So I didn't know that was coming.
He didn't know it was coming either.
No, he really didn't.
Did he hit the water? Do you know?
No, it just says on impact as the rocket landed.
Ugh. Landed.
Oh, man. I'm going to do the next one real quick, too.
Okay.
So this is Gordo. And in 1958.
Is that the dude from Lizzie McGuire?
Yes, Gordo. He was actually a monkey actor. Very good. So in 1958, Gordo, a squirrel monkey nicknamed Old Reliable.
That's what you call, that's what like people like in the 40s or 50s called like a first one to die? No, like a prostitute.
I think I say a prospector. No. So, yeah, nicknamed Old Reliable, survived being launched aboard Jupiter AM-13. He was most likely killed due to parachute malfunction or a mechanical failure in the flotation system attached to the rocket nose.
So he died on impact.
Dude, I thought this guy survived. That's why I added him.
I don't think he did.
No, I don't think he did. God damn it. I really thought Gordo survived. I've put zero effort into this.
Well, I guess. Why was he Old Reliable?
I don't know. You couldn't manage the goddamn.
David.
Couldn't figure out the parachute.
I don't know why he's called Old Reliable at all.
I don't either.
Okay,
I really meant to work on this more. I just ran out of time.
Oh my god. So we'll jump back over to me. So this next monkey I got is by far one of my favorite monkeys of all time, which I knew very little about, and I still know very little about, but that's okay. Because right now I'm covering the evil smiling orangutan. David knows who this this bastard is. So the smiling orangutan, or evil smiling orangutan, went viral when a news broadcaster did a story about the Melbourne Zoo about digital enrichment programs that they are performing with the orangutans to help stimulate them as well as help them learn. So as you probably know, David, orangutans are one of, if not the smartest monkey.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they know sign language.
Yeah.
Or they don't know, they can learn sign language. I don't know if chimps do that. I know chimps might be like the second closest. Yeah,
gorillas.
I think chimps are smarter than gorillas, it seems like.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, I think gorillas are the smartest. They're also just like the most dangerous, so it's kind of hard to like.
Yeah, I think movies have ruined me. I always think the biggest guy is the dumbest guy, right?
Yeah,
big dumb guy.
Typically. Yeah.
So, so like I said, they're doing digital enrichment programs, which are like basically just like they put like, you know, when you go to like a museum and they project a bunch of lily pads on the floor and you could go and step on them and they'll like flip over and all the kids are just like running around stepping on the projected lily pads on the floor and interacting with them.
Of course, yeah.
It's basically holograms. Yeah, it's basically that for orangutans. So people became concerned about the video. And for those of you who don't know, usually it's accompanied by this haunting music and a slow zoom in on this orangutan that is positioned behind the woman on the other side of the glass, and it's smiling and like has a sinister stare. It's very strange. We'll post it on the
terrifying.
Yeah, we'll post it on the Instagram. But people became concerned about this video, claiming that the orangutan is either a demon, he knows too much and he is plotting something, or that I found this one that he was the baby orangutan from the Johnny Carson show. Where he laughed in his face on national television. You know that one?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, so they're like,
that's
oh.
a really good one.
They're like, oh, he's plotting to get back because Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show laughed in his face in front of it, the entire world, because so many people watch that show. So he wants revenge.
That's such a good video.
Yeah, it's really good. He's like wearing like little overalls or something. I like the one where they dress him up as the Joker in like the meme or whatever.
The face paint.
Oh, that's a good one. So, and yeah, that he wants revenge on humanity. But luckily, after a deep dive, I was able to find the exact orangutan in the form of Keyani. Keyani is a 44-year-old female orangutan.
Oh, she's a lady.
Yeah, that is hopefully still alive to this day. There's some concern since 44 is apparently past life expectancy for orangutans, because they usually live till about 40 out in the wild. But since she is in captivity and there's vets and they could monitor her and feed her a proper diet, orangutans can live up to 60 if they're in captivity. So you get another 20 on there. So I believe that she is still alive and well. And the Melbourne Zoo claims that the orangutans are by far the smartest animals at their zoo, and that the keepers have to keep making up new games and puzzles for them in order to keep them entertained, because they need so much stimulation. Basically, they solve the shit so quick that they're just like, this is boring. Yeah. I need something else. So they're constantly like making up enrichment games to help the orangutans, like, you know, just like be good in captivity, you know,
give them
a proper life. And then I just wanted to read a couple, since that was such a quick one. I didn't really find out too much about Keyani besides name and age.
Well, I was going to say it's 4:04 PM in Melbourne right now.
Should we call him up?
You could call him. You call him, ask how Keyani's doing.
Not Keyani. Keyani's an R&B singer.
What did you say?
Keyani.
Oh, Keyani.
It's like K-Y-A-N-I?
I would definitely call and ask. The only problem is that I am on FaceTime with you on my phone.
That's true. Anyway, I just want to read you a couple facts about orangutans that I didn't know. So, orangutans are the largest Orangutans are the largest tree-dwelling mammal. They share 97% of the same DNA as humans, making them one of our closest relatives. The word orang-hutan literally translates into English as person of the forest, which is cool. They also spend about 80% of their time in the tree, from climbing, traveling, and building sleeping nests in the trees. And then, David, you're really going to like this one. Some, but not all, male orangutans develop large cheek pads on their faces at around 35 years of age. And apparently, females take these enlarged cheek pads into consideration when choosing a mate. And males with the large cheek pads usually get chosen more.
Yeah.
I always wondered that, because I watched
That was like a special breed of them or something.
Well,
or
there's,
if
that
had something to do with where they're from.
I believe that there's three different types of orangutans, but those aren't necessarily a breed in themselves. It's just like a deviation, I guess. But they happen at like 35 years of age that they start to form.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very interesting, very weird. But yeah, so that's my orangutan pick is Keyani, the smiling evil orangutan.
Incredible. I mean, I'm going to follow you on that one, and I'm going to talk about Dunstan
from Dunstan checks in. My God. Yeah.
Great orangutan. So, here I have the, synopsis of the movie.
I hate to be this guy. It's not orangutan. There's no G. It's pronounced, there's a G on it, but there's no, when you pronounce it, Orangutan.
Orangutan.
Mm-hmm.
Orangutan.
You could pronounce that however you want. I'm being a penis right now.
No, that's fine. I just think of I think the reason most people say that is because of Tang.
Yes, that was the fucking mascot.
Old drink, and the mascot was an orangutan.
I love Tang.
So that's just what I think of.
You could do it. I believe in you. You could say it however you want to say it.
I'm going to keep fucking saying it.
Say it.
So Robert Grant, played by Jason Alexander, is the concierge of the Elegant Majestic Hotel.
It's California, right?
I always thought it was in New York.
Does it have to? Is Tony Danza in that movie? Or am I thinking of the movie with Joey Tribbiani, where he has like a chimpanzee and they play baseball together?
Yeah, you might be thinking of that.
Matt LeBlanc is in like a movie, I think, with like a chimp and they like play baseball or something.
No, this one has Eric Lloyd, Jason Alexander, Faye Dunaway, Rupert Everett, Graham Sack, Paul Rubens.
Oh, yeah. Pee-wee.
Yeah.
Oh, Ed. I'm thinking of Ed.
Oh.
Anyway, sorry. Please continue. Yes, oh, my God. It got a 2.7 out of 10 on IMDb and a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. I have to watch Ed.
Yeah, I mean, Dunstan Checks In is sitting at a hot 5.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's a pretty good rating, I have to say.
Yeah, for most things, for most monkey movies, pretty good.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the Majestic Hotel, with inspectors due for a surprise visit, the Majestic's owner, Mrs. Dubrow, played by Faye Dunaway, puts extra pressure on Robert to keep the establishment running flawlessly. Robert, hoping to be rewarded with some time off of work to relax with his sons, played by Eric Lloyd and Graham Sack, vows to put the utmost care into his duties, a task that is complicated by one's guest's unruly, light-fingered orangutan, Dunstan.
I can't believe how little effort you put into this.
I know, right? This is a new low.
You're literally reading off the fucking plot and saying the actors' names, who I don't even know who these actors are.
You don't know who Jason Alexander is or Faye Dunaway?
I know who they are, but you're like the two sons.
I don't know who the fuck. I considered skipping that part. I don't know. I didn't want to insult their hard work. I did read a fun fact that I didn't know on the IMDb page of Dunstan Checks In. Hmm. And that is that Jason Alexander, do you want to guess what age he was when he first started to go bald?
Yeah, because he was like 28 in Seinfeld, so probably.
So yes, this is George from Seinfeld, if anybody was wondering who Jason Alexander is.
Probably like 22.
He was 16 years old when he started going bald.
Shut the fuck up.
Isn't that crazy?
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? Bald King, though. He rocks it.
Yeah. When I think of bald, iconic. I think of George.
Or Ben Kingsley.
Or The Rock.
Or Jason Statham.
Or Jason Momoa after I get my hands on that bastard.
Your hair's mine.
Oh, man.
Is that it for Dunstan?
That's all I got for Dunstan. It's not Dustin, it's Dunstan.
Him too.
Which I don't even know if that's a real word, the real name.
It's a real word, Dunstan. Okay, well, wait, he's an orangutan?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump over into Ed territory, because I'm talking about a chimp right now. And I'm talking about one of the most famous chimps. If I had to ask you to name a famous chimp, who would you name? Any famous chimp?
That's such a hard one, because there's so many.
You're right. But, like, there's one that stands above the rest.
The one from, like, recent mine would be, like, the one that was in Nope.
Nope. Not that one. So this was
Caesar?
No, this isn't a fictional monkey. This is a real monkey. Ape, whatever. In the 80s.
Don't tell me you're talking about Trevor.
No, I don't even know who the fuck Trevor is. I'm talking about...
Trevor is on Sound the Alarm. Trevor the Monkey is on my naughty monkey list.
No, wait.
Travis the Chimp.
Do you want to cover this or should I continue?
I actually really don't want to cover it. If you guys are curious, Google it. It's not a fun story.
Oh, he's the one that ripped off the lady's face?
Yeah.
Or the man's penis? Which one?
He was the one that ripped off Lee's face.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad monkey.
That's a bad 911 phone call.
Bad daddy monkey.
That's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Have you ever listened to the 911 phone call of that?
No. Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I have wounds that have no healing.
Haunting. That is haunting. No.
No, it was like the lady's friend called in, and you could hear the monkey in the background just like screaming and breaking things. Like, it almost sounds fake.
Oh, my God. Fuck that shit. Yeah. Anyway, well, I'm going to talk about a different chimp that is probably saw some haunting shit, too, because today I'm talking about Bubbles.
Oh, God, no.
Michael Jackson's chimp.
Oh, no. Poor Bubbles.
So, Bubbles was born in 1983 in a research facility in Austin, Texas, that bred primates for animal testing. Fucked up shit. Michael Jackson bought Bubbles, but a concrete story of how is still debated. Many people believe that he purchased it from when the Bubbles was 8 months old through like a famous Hollywood animal handler, but no one has like a real concrete story. So
no paper trail,
I guess not, probably a little illegal. So Bubbles moved to Encino, California, which is actually pretty close to me. It's the Valley. It's a couple towns over, with Michael Jackson in 1983, but was moved to Neverland Ranch in like Santa Barbara area in 1988. And at the ranch, Bubbles slept in a crib in Jackson's bedroom. He ate candy in the Neverland movie theater, was fed at the dining table, wore a diaper, and used Jackson's toilet. So he was just like a regular guest at Michael Jackson's house. So at Jackson's 2005 trial, Jackson said that his chimpanzee helped with housekeeping chores. He said, "They run around, help me clean the room. They help me dust, clean the windows."
Did he have multiple?
Well, we'll get into it. But okay. Yeah, he got.
Oh, Bubbles was Bubbles a they them?
No, Bubbles was a boy. But he got two other chimps. Later, but it's just so funny because he's like, "Oh, they follow me around. They do chores. They help clean and they dust and they clean the windows." And then Jackson's housekeeper testified that they disapproved of the chimpanzee's behavior. One said she had to clean feces hurled at the bedroom wall, and another described a chimpanzee tearing off his diaper before crawling into Jackson's bed. So Michael's like, "Oh, they have clean," and literally the maids are like, "No, they throw shit at the walls.
They make the mess like that we're trying to clean."
Yeah, they're horrible. Another little fun. I'm just kind of doing like little fun facts about like.
Oh no, keep going, buddy. This is better what I'm doing. Shit.
So Queen singer Freddie Mercury grew frustrated one time trying to record a duet with Jackson, and the song was called "There Must Be More to Life Than This," because he got annoyed with Bubbles because of. Or with Michael, I should say, because of his insistence that Bubbles be in the studio. According to the producer, Michael made Bubbles sit between them and would turn to the chimp between takes and ask, "Don't you think that was lovely?" Or, "Do you think we should do it again?" And after a few days of this, Freddie just exploded, screaming, "I'm not performing with a fucking chimp sitting next to me each night." And Mercury ended up leaving the project and released the song as a solo artist in 1985.
Holy shit.
So we didn't get a Freddie Mercury, Michael Jackson collab.
I don't think they ever did a song together.
No, we lost out on a collab because of that fucking monkey.
That would have been iconic, too.
I know. What a great song. I haven't listened. There Must Be More to Life Than This. But if you want to listen to it, pause this podcast right now and go listen to it. Tell us if you like it. What?
Pretend Michael's on it.
Pretend Michael is on it. So, in just to like kind of wrap this up, I have like another little paragraph. In 2003, Jackson told a journalist that Bubbles had become pugnacious, which I had to Google. It means quick to argue. Put that in your pocket for next time. Drop it on your wife or husband. You're being very pugnacious right now. you're quick to argue, and was eventually moved to an animal sanctuary over fears that he might attack Jackson's newborn son. When a chimp gets to a certain age, they apparently are too dangerous and cannot be treated as a pet.
Yeah, they get because, strong as shit.
Yeah, exactly. They're like really fucking strong. But don't worry, because Jackson bought two more baby chimpanzees, Max and Action Jackson. Pretty cool. Max Jackson and Action Jackson. Those two baby chimpanzees. But he always regretted moving Bubbles away, apparently. He always felt, like, guilt about it. Because he moved to Sylmar, which there's, like, an animal ranch out there, and he was there for, like, a couple years. And Jackson claimed to have visited Bubbles with his kids after Bubbles moved out there and, you know, off the ranch. But the man who owned the animal sanctuary claimed that to be false and ultimately resulted – So he's like, yeah, Michael doesn't come out here to visit Bubbles. That doesn't happen. And this is the fucking saddest thing, and this is alleged, but, like I said, the guy who owned the animal sanctuary claimed that to be false, and it ultimately resulted in an apparent suicide attempt by Bubbles in 2003. I do not know if that's true or not. It says apparent.
But did they, like, say, like, did he just try to jump off a tree?
I don't know. All they said was that they rushed him to the hospital and they were able to save him in time. So I don't know what that maybe like a head and a. Do you think that he did like a head and a rope, like a classic, you know, or like a tire swing situation?
Maybe he just stopped swimming.
That's a good way to go. I just stopped swimming. But don't worry. He was saved, like I said, and eventually was moved to where we all want to end up going in our twilight years, to the center.
The Cincinnati Zoo?
Oh, no, the center of great apes in Wachulu, Florida. For great apes, but I meant Florida. So where now he is 40 years old.
Holy shit, he's still alive?
Yeah, like I told you, orangutans can live up to 60 in captivity.
Well, yeah, this ain't no orangutan.
Well, let me see. Chimp lifespan. Oh, shit. This is male in captivity, 32 years, and female, 39.
He had that magic mic in him.
Can chimpanzees live for 50 years? Oh, wait. And then right here it says 40 to 50 years in the wild and 50 to 60 in captivity. Okay, I'm getting too... Crazy. Yeah, but yeah. I think it's about the same. Like I said, he's in there. He's 40 years old, living in Florida, and where he lives his days painting, listening to flute music, napping, and playing in trees.
He just like me for real.
Okay, but I exactly that meme. But here's my favorite little part on the whole Wikipedia. So, this is like one of the last things written. It says, according to animal, this is not needed for Bubbles' sake. According to animal keepers at the center where he is now, Bubbles, whose facial features have changed since his time with Jackson, is now huge and ugly, weighing 185 pounds, but has a sweet character.
This is a fucking hideous little guy.
They wrote that he was huge and ugly now. Why would they write that? They said that his personality is great, sweet character, but he's a big, huge, fat, fucking ugly weirdo.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I also read something they also said sometimes Bubbles just like hangs out under a tree and stares off into nothingness or something like that. And I was like, what is that about? I got to find the line because it fucked me up a little bit. I was like, wait, what do you mean? I was like fucking just midlife.
Bubbles to himself.
Yeah, wait. In 2009, Bubbles was spending most of his time sitting quietly in trees with Sam. Oh, another 40-year-old chimpanzee. Anyway, maybe that was it. Maybe he just spends most of his... I thought there was like another thing where he was just like pondering off in the distance or something like that, but... That still might be a thing. pretty good though. Okay, well, and then I have one more, but I'm gonna let you go.
Okay. Well, my next one. I mean, you can't do a monkey list without including the one from the Cincinnati Zoo.
Wait. That's my last one too.
You can take it if you want. You did more research.
Okay. Well, I'll let you get the ball rolling, and then I'll take off whatever you don't cover, okay?
Okay. Well, I mean, we're talking about Harambe.
Of course.
Of course. Which, what I didn't know, Harambe and I have the same birthday.
Oh, really?
And the sad part is that Harambe died the day after his birthday.
May 27th.
He was born May 27th, 1999, and died May 28th, 1916.
Ugh.
Or 2016.
Oh, my God!
he died the day after
his 17th birthday. He tried to stop his own death.
Yeah. He was a Western
lowland gorilla.
Who lived
at... The Gladys.
At the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, I was talking about where he was born.
Oh, I know. I didn't include that.
He was born at the Gladys Porter Zoo in Brownsville, Texas.
Wow.
And
the Texas boy.
Do you know where he got his name from?
I used to know that. I don't know if it's in here. Because, again, I copied and pasted this one. I've never done that before. I did it this time. I was being lazy.
So, a local area counselor named Dan Van Copen... Copenol, he won a naming contest sponsored by the zoo, and he came up with the name after listening to the 1988 song Harambe, parentheses, Working Together for Freedom, by Rita Marley, one of the Marleys. Harambe is a Swahili term for communal labor.
Oh, I thought it was like Swahili for like peace and love.
Oh, no. Communal labor, because they all had to work together to fucking kill him, apparently. Those assholes. Fucking dicks.
All right, you take it from here.
Okay, so on September 18th, 2014, Harambe was transferred to the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden to learn adult gorilla behavior and join a new social group, because I believe he was 7 years old at this time.
He was born in 99.
Oh, then he was... 15?
What year did you say?
2014. He was transferred.
14,
there,
so he was 15.
Yeah, he was 15, but I thought it said 7. Maybe he was 17 when he died. So on May 28th, 2016, he was 16 or 17 when he died. A 3-year-old boy, fucking coward, name yourself so I could hurt you. Makes me so fucking mad. 3-year-old boy visiting the Cincinnati Zoo fell into the moat at the Gorilla World Habitat. Witnesses said they heard the child say he wanted to go into the gorilla enclosure. The boy then climbed a 3-foot-tall fence, crawled through 4 feet of bushes, and then fell 15 feet into the moat of shallow water. Zoo officials immediately signaled for the 3 gorillas in the habitat to return inside, and 2 females did so. However... the 3rd gorilla, the inquisitive 440-pound male silverback Harambe, I know, climbed down into the moat to investigate the child splashing in the water. So far, Harambe has done nothing wrong here. Okay?
Yeah.
He's a curious boy.
You came into his domain. He has every right to come look, check you out.
If I found a 3-year-old splashing around in my sink, I'd go down there and I'd be curious on what was going on in there. Okay, yeah. I wouldn't. If somebody was like, "Get it back in your room," I'd be like, "I gotta go see what's going on in the sink." Okay,
yeah.
So, over the next 10 minutes, Harambe became increasingly agitated and disoriented. Of course, I would too. By the screams of the onlookers. So they're screaming and they're getting them all fucking riled up and agitated.
Cameras got their flash on and stuff.
Am I the only one who gets irritated? Okay, I'm such a fucking curmudgeon sometimes, I swear to God. Sometimes when I'm on a roller coaster, I'm like, stop screaming. You're not in actual danger. I'm trying to enjoy this. I sometimes I'm like,
that is a Larry David take right there.
I know. Because like sometimes it's so performative. I'm okay with like a genuine scream, like, you know, like a if you're like whoa, or if you want to go like a oh, like that's fine. You can't control that. But it's the ones who are just like, ah, and I'm like, okay, you need to stop doing that. I'm trying to get that weird feeling in my balls when you go off on a drop. Yeah. Trying to enjoy that in peace.
The tingle. The ball drop tingle.
Now, ladies out there, do you guys get a tingle down there too when you go off on the drop? I know all my guy listeners out there.
We talked about this. We can't. You cannot ask women that.
Okay.
Cannot. You have to stop asking them about the tingle.
Sir, this is a Chili's. Are your nether regions tingling? She's like, what? I'm like, I should have got the fajitas. Fuck. Anyway, so
bottomless thoughts for me.
So he's getting agitated, and he carried the child through the water, occasionally propping him up when he sat or pushing him down when he stood. That's a little scary.
A little bit.
A little scary. Harambe exhibited strutting behavior, quote unquote strutting behavior, walking around with legs and arms stiffly extended to appear bigger. It's a bluffing move, apparently. And though one with inherent danger, should he throw or drag the boy around too roughly. So Harambe then carried the boy up a ladder and out of the moat onto dry land. Man, that's fucking nuts to be that 3-year-old and be like, a gorilla is carrying me right now.
Yeah.
But he was just too busy crying, probably didn't even appreciate it.
No.
I would have appreciated every moment.
Me too.
He's probably thinking about Bluey or
Fortnite.
Yeah. I'm like, you got to live in the moment. He's probably playing fucking Candy Crush. So that gorilla was about to crank Candy Crush his ass. So afraid of the boy's welfare, zoo officials made the decision to kill Harambe, doing so with a single rifle shot. Cincinnati firefighters said the boy was betwixt Harambe's legs when the shot was fired. Imagine if they didn't kill
him. Crushed him. Or if Harambe crushed the kid when he died.
They fire the bullet and quickly Harambe just picks up the kid and holds him in front of the bullet. And you're like, oh my God.
He's like, look, fantasize about that
he's
stuff,
like,
man.
He's like, look what you've done.
He just points at everybody.
And he goes, you did this. Pretty cool. So
that's very cool.
Harambe, God, in an alternate universe where Nixon won the second time, where Nixon wasn't impeached, that's what would have happened. God.
Third term, Obama.
So, Harambe was killed one day after his 17th birthday. Oh, almost old enough to smoke cigarettes. God damn it.
In monkey years, he was.
Yeah, true. And the boy was given a trauma assessment and transported to the Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. His injuries were non-life-threatening. Yeah, I could have told you that, little piece of shit. I'm sorry. Where do we land on this kid? I'm so
honestly,
this kid.
I blame the mother, not the kid.
Yeah, of course. I mean, how can you blame a 3-year-old for anything they do? But
yeah, I mean, obviously it was a bad idea, but he was 3, so like whatever. But it's definitely because I believe he was just there with his mother, and his mother was not paying attention. So I blame mama, bad mommy.
So just to wrap this up, police investigated possible criminal charges against the parents while the parents defended the zoo's action. Yeah, we know you would side with the zoo. They blasted a hole in a gorilla's head to keep your son safe, you assholes. So the boy's mother, did they shoot him in the head? Who shot that? Who shot that gun?
I assume they shot him in the chest, but I don't know.
Do you think the guy who actually dropped the atomic bomb and the guy who shot Harambe sometimes call each other?
All the time, every Thursday.
They're like, do you know what we've done?
They know the damage they've done to our society is irreversible, but they have each other.
I am the bringer of banana.
Dude, that must have been pretty brutal for like how big of a meme it turned into and like how many people cared about some random gorilla. Like,
dude, I know.
That poor person, whoever it was that shot Harambe, must have like just felt so bad. Because, you know, like they're working at the zoo. The last thing they want to do is shoot a fucking big gorilla. Like,
is that one of the qualifications?
A meerkat, whatever. Who gives a shit? Stomp its brain out. But like a big ass gorilla?
Wait, is that one of the qualifications when you work at the zoo? You have to be rifle trained?
I'm pretty sure there's at least one annihilator.
Stop! That guy's running across the zoo with his rifle, and he's like, "Today's the day, Eric. Your big day. You're going to get the promotion after you blast a hole in this gorilla."
He's basically a backup kicker in football.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Called up like once, and if you fuck up, man, you fuck up.
He's been waiting to shoot an animal for like years. So, like I said, they brought up parents defended the zoo. The boy's mother also became the target of harassment on the internet and social media. On June 6, 2016, Ohio prosecutor Joe Dieters said that the mother would not face any charges of wrongdoing. The zoo was investigated by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, the AZA, you learn something new, which sets the standard for zoos and the USDA. I don't know what happened to her there, but I think she just got off scot-free. But here's the last sentence. One person defended the actions of the Cincinnati Zoo, saying the zoo's employees probably had no choice. And this person was Donald Trump. So, I don't want to get political, but if there's any reason...
I love Harambe. Harambe was one of my closest friends. Real shame what happened to the fellow.
If there's any reason not to vote for Donald Trump, is because he sides with the killers of Harambe and not with Harambe himself. You know, Joe Biden might also side with those killers. That's the problem with government. They're not
Joe Biden
for the people.
Where the fuck he is.
Yeah, Joe Biden's probably like,
"What's a gorilla?
You're so strong. You're so strong. Wait, what do you mean they're going to shoot you in the head? Oh, I fell in the enclosure. Oh, fuck." But yeah, I was just like, that's so funny that they had to fucking ask Donald Trump because it was such a big story. He's like, they probably had to do it. I'm like, I mean, they did, but
yeah,
that's not even Harambe's fault. He's a fucking gorilla.
Yeah.
Anyway,
didn't hurt the kid, did he?
Well, he dragged him through the water, and he was just kind of like not pushing him. Like he grabbed him by the leg.
I'll drag my own kid through the water. I don't give a shit. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's still legal. You could. Is it? Never mind.
I don't even want to think about where you're going with that.
Well, I just still don't know where like people like. It's so weird because like people. At least, you know, even like 15 years ago, they were like openly like, "Yeah, I spanked my kid." And I'm like, and people would just say it proudly. I'm like, are you legally allowed to hit your children? And someone's like, "No, you can't." And I'm like, then why are so many people like so open about like punishing their children by like hitting them? I mean, maybe not so much anymore, but they're like, "Well, I didn't punch them. I just spanked their butt." And I guess it's still like physical abuse, right?
It probably does more mental abuse than it does physical abuse in the long run, but yeah.
My mom put fucking hot sauce on my tongue one time because I kept saying butthole. That
putting
was traumatic. That was
put it on a shirt.
I'm just glad that she put it on my tongue.
Yeah.
She's like, Tabasco, guess what? Do a handstand, buddy. Guess where this bottle's going.
You're getting half a bottle tonight.
You're doing like a Steve-O right now. Here, do a handstand. We're going to Steve-O your ass. But yeah, it's so weird. I don't really know I don't know why this got brought up, but I don't plan on hitting my children in any way, shape, or form. But it seemed like it was such like a normal thing where it's like people would turn a blind eye to spanking. I'm like, can't you go to prison for spanking a child still?
I would, if I had a son, I'd hit my son. I would hit him with a tight spiral off a 3-yard slant. You know what I mean? Playing catch in the backyard.
Yeah, into traffic.
Hit him with a real good football bat.
Into traffic. Will you throw Eric Roberts
bricks?
At him?
I'll throw a bunch of bricks in the air.
Yeah, I'll put a pack of bricks on him and I'll chuck an Eric Roberts at him and see if he can go catch it in the street. That football skin, man.
The only other one I had left was just Jack the Railroad Baboon, who I did a whole episode about. I just want to bring up that he was a good monkey. And I had my naughty monkey list, which is a short one.
Well, he drank beer. Wait. The baboon drank beer, and his owner had no legs because they got run over by a train, right?
True.
Fuck yeah. I remember that vividly.
That was
a good one. He got paid in like, he got like cigarettes. Half a beer and cigarettes or something like that. Yeah. The fuck?
And then I had my naughty monkey list, which we already talked about, Travis the Chimp. And then we also had Sig Hale, the Nazi monkey from the Indiana Jones movies. He's a bad monkey.
Wait, the monkey's name is I don't even want to say that.
Sig Hale. That was the name of the monkey from Indiana Jones.
I hope that's the one that got his fucking brains eaten.
No, he was the one that I think he ate poison and died.
I haven't seen those movies in a long time.
Nor have I.
I didn't know there was a Nazi monkey in there.
Nor did I. I could have been reading a website that had a bunch of bullshit, and I wouldn't have known better.
Wouldn't that be insane? Wouldn't that be insane if he popped up in Zone of Interest?
What's Zone of Interest?
It's a movie that like won Best International Film, and it's about like a concentration camp.
Oh shit! Okay, moving on. And then
I'm just saying.
The last naughty monkey from my naughty monkey list was Evil Zombie Gorillas from Congo. Loved that movie as a child.
Oh, shit. Wait. Congo.
Yeah.
That was a movie that I watched as a child, and that genuinely scared me. Was there like a part where he was like lurking in the dark or something like that, and he like grabs a guy, or he's like raving? Oh my god, yeah, that fucking scared me.
They weren't like really zombies. That was just the best way to describe them. But they were like gray gorillas that were like bloody and like crazy.
Yeah, they're like nuts. Also, can I give one more shout out to a cinematic monkey that
please
forgotten. And should never be forgotten, Mighty Joe Young.
Yeah, I saw him on a lot of lists, and like most of the things were like, yeah, he was just kind of like a shitty King Kong.
Yeah, well, he was just a big monkey,
a
but it,
friendly.
Yeah, it was a kid King friendly. Kong. I always made a joke where I'm like, I always like do this thing where I'm like, do you know who my father is? And like, he wrote Mighty Joe Young, and he didn't, but I just think it's such a funny flex.
Yeah,
my father wrote Mighty Joe Young. What a horrible Mighty Joe.
My dad wrote Pootie Tang.
Oh, holy shit. Stacked cast. Charlize Theron is in it. Bill Paxton.
Why? No, it was
Regina
a Disney movie.
Regina King? What the fuck?
It's a Disney movie, man. They got the money for the cast.
I guess. It has like a 50% on like everything, so.
Yeah. I don't remember. I remember as a small child being like, yeah, that movie wasn't great.
No. Screenplay by Mark Rosenthal and Lawrence Connor. Okay. Good for them.
All right. I think that's all we got this week.
I think so. Oh, he wrote Mona Lisa Smile. Damn! 2 years after Mighty Joe Young, that motherfucker wrote Planet of the Apes, the 2001 version.
That movie was bad.
That guy only writes monkey movies.
And that we're not talking about the one that had...
Oh my god, one of these guys, because there's two guys who wrote Mighty Joe Young, and they both wrote Planet of the Apes, but then one of the guys went to go write on The Sopranos.
Fuck yeah.
That's so sick. And Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Damn. Hell yeah.
Just goes to show, man.
Yeah, I like that. Anyway, yeah, so that's our monkey list. So why were you giving me the cutoff?
Because I got to wake up in like 5 hours.
Oh, I thought you were just like, don't talk about...
No, Sopranos. I'm like, all right, let's end this shit. Stop Googling people's IMDBs at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love talking monkeys to you, and we love when you stick around and listen. We hope you enjoyed our monkey list. This is the monkey episode. If you guys want any more information or see what some of these monkeys look like, maybe we would do like a two-post. We got a lot of monkeys. Might be a two-poster because I want to throw some like Congo. I want to see those zombie apes as well, you know?
I don't know if you ever got a clean look at them.
Maybe not. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a while. But if you guys want any more information, go to Camp Strange Podcast, and we're on Instagram, link in bio for merch or whatever. If you want to email us, send it to campstrangepodcast@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe, share it with a friend. I don't care. And I don't think there's anything else
hard to talk about. Oh, yeah, you did get a good look at these gorillas.
Oh, are they fucking scary?
Yeah, they're good. Scary.
Post it. Hell yeah. Well, Davey, do you have anything to say before we officially get the hell out of here?
Yeah. Ooh.
Banana. All right. And don't forget to stay strange.